Zone. I didn't get much of a response. Good evening. How is everybody this evening? That's great. I got to be honest with you. Last time I preached, I felt a little captive being on a stage. I don't preach from a stage much. Usually I'm down on the floor, walking around, pacing, just whatever the Lord leads, and I felt a little bit trapped. So pastor said, you want to be up there or down here? Down here. So, thankful for the opportunity. When pastor asked me, he asked this week or next week, I said, it doesn't matter to me. Almost immediately, Lord, just give me something that I just knew that was what the congregation here, whoever was going to be here, needed to hear. And that's my prayer anytime that I have opportunity to preach, wherever I go, whatever congregation I'm in front of, what does that congregation need to hear? And I want to be listening. There was a friend of mine just sent a message the other day about listening to the Lord through that text message that he sent. And I was thinking, you know, do we always listen? Do we always listen to what the Lord is saying to us? And I'm hopeful I listened in this one right here. You have your Bibles with you. I would invite you to stand with me. It's a short, you will be standing for a short period of time. Get your calisthenics in, as pastor says. Matthew chapter 5, we'll just be looking at verse 6. You're at Matthew chapter 5. I see pages flipping. I love to see that. We can look on the screen. I'm going to be looking on the screen some tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, just tell me to hang on. I'll wait for you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Would you bow with me? Father, we come to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for all that you do for us, all the blessings you give us. God, as we were in worship through song just a few minutes ago, just knowing that you're there with us, you walk with us and you talk with us. You're there personally with us. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they've not been born again, they don't understand what it's like to know you personally. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts tonight. God, that they wouldn't leave this place until they have a relationship with you. Lord, no matter how long it takes. Lord, I pray that be a priority in our life. Lord, if someone is lost, if someone doesn't know you, God, we would take time to share who you are, the love that you showed us. God, that they would understand, Lord, and they'd want to trust you before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray for the family of believers here tonight. God, I pray that you stir something inside them like you stirred inside of me. And God, I'm still chewing on this message myself. I know I'll be preaching to myself tonight, Lord. Lord, because there's times where I'm not as hungry as I need to be, or I'm not as thirsty as I need to be for you. So God, I pray that you just speak tonight. Lord, I just want to be a vessel. And I pray that you receive all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have you ever been hungry before? There's a quiet mumble about, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I had been hungry a few times. I missed a meal every once in a while. But I went to Uganda, and I sat in an 8x8 room that this woman was renting, and that's her house, an 8x8 room. She has four children. Husband had left to go find work and never came back. And she's got to feed these four children every day. And she said, if I can make a dollar a day, I can get all of us fed. So every day she gets up with no job, just a few things that she can try to sell. And every day she gets up and she tries to make a dollar a day, and many days she falls short. So who do you think goes without eating? She said there's 2-3 days sometimes that she goes without eating. I don't know what hungry is. I have no idea what hungry is. And that's where we get sometimes. If we read a scripture like this, we can see the scripture, and the scripture says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But are we really hungry? Are we really thirsty? Because we have an idea of what hunger is. If we miss a meal, or we go a few hours past lunch or a few hours past dinner, we think we're hungry, but we're not really hungry. A woman that misses 2 or 3 days worth of eating to feed her children so that they'll be okay, to me, that's hungry. Have you ever been thirsty? I tell you, one time in my life, I was more thirsty than I thought I was. We was in Mexico, and we took these boxes of stuffed animals. And we were going to go around the neighborhood and give these boxes of stuffed animals to all these kids. And I was amazed when we were going around handing out these stuffed animals, because we had big boxes of stuffed animals. It's 110 degrees. It's a dry heat. But I'm carrying these boxes, and I had help offered, but I'm prideful, so I'm trying to carry both these boxes. Didn't take anything to drink, so we walk around this neighborhood. And when we would set these boxes on the porches or on the dirt of these houses, and these kids would come out, they wouldn't grab handfuls like American children do. They would get one. And they were so thankful. And they appreciated it so much. And we carried those boxes around hoping just to get rid of them. That's what we were looking to do. It was old stuffed animals that our kids didn't play with anymore. And these kids were just overjoyed to have this little stuffed animal because they had nothing. And we walked around for a while in that 110 degree heat. It was a dry heat. I wasn't sweating. And all of a sudden, I started getting this sharp headache. And my eyes started hurting. And I realized my mouth was very, very dry. And I realized I was getting dehydrated. So I went back to the van, got a water and a Gatorade. And I downed those things and felt a whole lot better. For the first time in my life, I was thirsty. And then not long after that, we went to a Christian concert. And there was a man said, he went to this country, and he walked through these villages, and there was no water anywhere. And he asked where the water was at, and they showed him. He had to trek down this mountain about a mile. And he went with these kids that were carrying milk jugs. And there was one place in the rock that water would come out, and 600 families would try to get water out of that one place. And of course, those little kids were getting pushed to the side. That's thirsty. That's thirsty. I had access to get back to the van where we had coolers full of everything and was able to get hydrated, so I didn't get dehydrated. But I realized what thirsty really is. I realized what hungry really is, and I've never been there. I've never been there. If you look at the scripture, it says blessed. Do you want to be blessed? A couple of you? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We look at righteousness. What is righteousness? Who is righteous? We know that the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags compared to Christ. So if we're hungering and thirsting after this thing that it says righteousness, what is righteousness? Jesus is righteousness. Romans 3:21-22. It's one of my scriptures that's, there it is. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. There is nothing good about us. To be good is to be morally perfect. There is nothing good about us. If you read the next scripture, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glories of God. All, that's every one of us. We've sinned and fallen short of the glories of God. So he is our righteousness. Without him, we have no righteousness. So if we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we've got to hunger and thirst after him, because we can't hunger and thirst after the things of us because it's not righteousness. He is our righteousness. To understand and to know the deep trust that we need to have in him, to understand and know that deep relationship that we need to have with him, we're not going to get there unless we're hungry for it. We're not going to get there unless we're thirsty for it. And we've got to change our perspective of what being hungry and thirsty is, because we get spoon-fed all the time. We are so blessed as a church to have the worship team that we have. I'm thankful for the talent that God has given them. I'm thankful that when they're on the stage, it's not just a performance. They are worshiping, and they're helping us worship, and they're there with us. We're so blessed to have the staff that we have, pastor, that studies and preaches the word and gives us truth. We're blessed to have others that can step in and preach, pastors, other evangelists, prophets that come in and are speaking to us. But I want to ask you a question. How long has it been since you've been hungry to come to this place? Because I want you to think about something real quick. Who have you diligently prayed for this service tonight? Who have you diligently prayed? You come expecting something because you put something into it and you're going to get something out of it. There was a lot of times that I've been guilty of not diligently praying for the service. Sorry, Pastor. But I'm being honest, because I prayed in my prayer. This is just as much for me, because there's a time in my life I was so hungry for God. I was so hungry and thirsty for God. I wanted more of him every day of my life. I was just consumed by his word. I would get in his word and spend hours and hours and hours in his word. I would get lost in it because it was so exciting to me. And I couldn't wait to get off work, to have that opportunity to get back in his word, to get some free time that I could get into his word. And I was so excited when I was able to get into his presence in prayer. I found that secret place, and I loved that secret place that I could spend with God. How long has it been since you've been hungry for the word of God? How long? How long has it been since you've been thirsty for his presence, to be alone with him, to feel what he's given you, the gift that is inside of you? When you trusted in Jesus Christ, he gave you the greatest gift that outside of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, eternal life in you through the Holy Spirit. Guys, that blew me away. The God of the universe, the God that hung all the stars and the sun and the moon and made this world, spoke light into existence. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants to live inside of me. I know who I am. And it was not good. But I'm so thankful that he loved me first. I'm so thankful that he didn't want me to stay where I was at. I'm so thankful that he looked down and said, I want you. I don't want you to continue in your sin. I don't want you to continue in your darkness. I don't want you to continue in your life like that. And man, when I felt the love of God flow over me, and I knew in that moment that I had a hold of something that I'd never had a hold of before, that I had that born again experience in my life, I was so excited and I was hungry. I was so excited and I was thirsty. But you know, over time, we start replacing that hunger and that thirst. And the world will grab at us. The enemy has his little vices and his little tools, and it'll grab at us. You may say, well, I don't have TikTok or Instagram. But man, how many of you scroll those reels of Facebook? How many of you just scroll through everybody else's dirty laundry on Facebook? And the enemy has got us hungry for that. Because I'm guilty. Sometimes I pick up my phone. That's the first place I touch. It's not the Bible app. It's not a text message. It's not a phone call. It's Facebook. I got hungry for it. And I started eating of that. And it replaced the hunger that I had for God. Activities and sports and hobbies and things can draw us away, and we get thirsty for those things, to be in the presence of those things, and we lose our thirst for God. The enemy will lie to us. Some of you here tonight, you may be comfortable with your shame. You may be comfortable with your anxiety and your depression. You may be comfortable with that. And the enemy has showed you that hunger for that, just to be comfortable in that. And you've lost your hunger for God. Because it's easier to live in fear than it is to live in faith. Because faith's an unfamiliar territory. Fear is so much easier. Because that's what you know. And he wants to stir up something inside of you, that hunger and that thirst that you once had for him when you trusted him and you wanted to be in his presence, you wanted to be in his word, you wanted to be around his people. And you found yourself isolated because you hungered and you thirst after the things of the world and not after the things of God. And it's usually little by little. He'll dangle something in front of us little by little. And we lose focus. And little by little, we start developing that hunger and that thirst for other things. And then you wake up feeling empty. Because the scripture says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Why does it not say they will be filled? Because if you don't continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll get to a certain point, you won't be filled. You keep hunger and you keep thirsting after him. How do you get there? You ask him. You come to a point in your life where you say, I've messed it up. We can't stop trusting him. You trust him for salvation. You continue to trust him in your life all the way through your life. And he grows that trust and he grows that relationship with you. And he wants you to continue to hunger and thirst after him. He's our righteousness. He's the only way we can be filled. You can walk through this life. You can be born again. You can have a ministry. You can read the word. You can pray. And have an empty spot. Because you stop being hungry. And you stop being thirsty. He wants to continue to grow you from the time that you're a baby Christian. When you become born again, You're a baby Christian, and you should continue to grow. We should not be like the ones that Paul talked about, stuck on the milk, and we should be teaching others. We're not on the meat yet. He wants to grow us to that point where we're on the meat. And I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I want meat. I don't want milk. That's where he wants us to be. To continue to grow with him. To continue to learn from him. Continue to trust in him. And we don't ever reach that point of stopping. Many pastors have said, I don't see retirement in the Bible. There's no retirement for a Christian. You look at the Apostle Paul, the life that he had at the end of his life. You can see the beginning of where he was at and what he was doing in Acts chapter 9. Well, Acts chapter 7, you look through Acts chapter 9, he become born again. You look through his life and look at his writings and the things that he said in his writings, and you see the maturity start to take place. But it wasn't until the end of his life, when he knew his life was about over, that he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. He didn't say I threw a good punch. He said I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. I didn't take a couple of steps. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's not over. It don't matter how young or how old you are, it's not over. And there's always room to grow. And we all need to stay hungry. We all need to stay thirsty. Because at this moment right here, is all you really get hungry or thirsty for. This moment of coming in here and being with your family of believers is all you have. You're going to feel emptiness in your life. If every one of us got hungry, if every one of us got thirsty and wanted more of God, we probably couldn't contain all the people that would want to come in this place. It would blow our mind at the things God was having us do. It would blow our mind at where he was going to take us as a group. And more importantly, you as an individual. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Has it been a while? I heard a message one time talking about Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and he was sleeping in the boat. And the storm came, they're trying to wake Jesus up. And they finally got Jesus up, peace be still. At the end of that message, the pastor said, you're either in a storm, you're going through a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to go in a storm. And that would apply with this message tonight. You're either hungering, thirsting after him right now, but you've been in a place in your life where you didn't and you don't want to get back to there. You figured out there's some empty spots in my life and I want that hunger and that thirst back that I once had before. Or some of you have never been there. You don't know what it's like. And it's a passion and a desire that nothing else can compare to. When you have that hunger and that thirst for him. Jesus tells us in John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. He had a multitude of people. He had a mega church that was following him around. He had fed the 5,000. He had fed the 4,000. They had seen the miracle. And some of them, they were looking for another all-you-can-eat buffet. They were wanting what Jesus could do for them. And when he got to the point of the rubber meets the road in this passage of Scripture right here, it's amazing that John 6, verse 66 says that they departed from him and followed him no more. When he got to the meat of the matter, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Well, he's going against the old law, so he's not being truthful. There's something wrong with this guy. He must be a blasphemer. They walked away, but the 12 stayed. They stayed because they knew the truth. And there's a lot of people around you saying a lot of things. There's a lot of people around you that could distract you. There's a lot of people around you that are pulling you away. But you know the truth. And you may realize tonight, that's where I'm spending most of my time. Following the crowd. That's where I'm spending most of my time, just what everybody else is doing. Corporate America is an evil thing. There was a man told me the acronym of BUSY is bowing unto Satan's yield. And there's a lot of times we get too busy. And sometimes we just walk away. It gets too hard or we don't understand. It's easier to see what everybody else is doing because they've got this and they've got that and they're doing this and they're doing that. When he asked Peter, y'all leaving too? Peter said, no, where would we go? You got the truth. You got the words of life. You're the truth. You're the Son of God. You're the one. That's why we're here. That's why we followed you. That's why we laid everything down. We're going to continue in this. And it may get hard. And there may be situations in your life that pull at you. Don't be a statistic. Rise above. There was another story of thirsting. Jesus spoke to a woman at a well in John 4. And Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh this water shall never thirst again, or shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In the continuation of this story, Jesus asked her to bring her husband. She was looking for fulfillment. She's been empty. She was like the old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. She's had 5 husbands. She's not married to the one that she's with right now, and she's looking for something. In all of her shame and all of her guilt and everything in her life, she feels empty inside because she searched for fulfillment and all these other things but have not found it. And when Jesus tells her this, I want that. I want that. This is on the front edge of a revival about to happen. Jesus speaks to her. She goes back. She tells everybody. He spends 2 days there. He departs. And in the book of Acts, we see this is Samaria. This is half-breed people. This is people that none of the Jews wanted anything to do with. And Jesus has set the stage for Philip to go in Acts chapter 8. He set the stage, and when Philip goes back and he's preaching Jesus, they received it with joy. Because they were hungry. Because they were thirsty. They caught a glimpse of the one that will eventually save their soul. They spent a little bit of time with him. And when the opportunity come back around, they jumped at that opportunity. Because they were hungry. And they were thirsty. She was thirsty because she was at a well. But she was probably the first one in line when Philip came back. I want that. Here's where I want to be. And I hope this is your heart as well. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. I did some research on Psalm. This is the sons of Korah. Korah had took 250 men, came against Moses, and Korah and the rest of his leading group lost their lives, lost some of the family. But these sons seen what happened. They seen the power of God. They seen the wrath of God. They seen what God could truly do. And they didn't want to get away from the presence of God. They didn't want to get to a place where they wasn't thirsty for God anymore. So he says in verse 1, as the hart panteth, or the deer in other translations, after the water of the brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's where I want to be. Having a desire to be in his presence, having so much passion and love for him that I just want him more and more every day of my life. And that it doesn't get quenched by the things of this world, but it just heightens more and more. The more I have of him, the more I want of him. And just to grow in that. Verse 2, so my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We don't know what he had in his mind about the deer, but I could just picture. I was a young guy, and I was hunting with my uncle. And the neighbors had dogs, and they were running this little doe, and I felt bad for this little doe. I don't know how many dogs had been running this little doe, but there was just one running her. But she was like this big, didn't have spots, but she was really small. And she come running by us, and her tongue was hanging out. And she could barely go. And these dogs were chasing her. I actually thought about shooting the dog. So I felt sorry for that little deer because it was panting. If that little deer could shake that dog for a minute, there was a little creek that we were hunting beside. She probably would have stopped right in front of us and got a drink. I want to have that desire for God. I want to have that thirst for his presence. That woman at the well, when he told her, it will be like a well, like this river that's flowing inside of you. He wants to flow inside of you. And if you allow him to take over and expand who you are from the inside and flow more and more, then something's got to come out. He wants to be your everything, like we sang about. But I'm afraid we've come to a place where we're not hungry. I'm afraid we've come to a place where we're not thirsty. Because we have access to everything. You want to listen to any preacher, you can pull up your phone and listen to any preacher. If you don't have your Bible with you, you probably got two or three apps on your phone like I do. There's access everywhere. And that access should cause us to be more hungry and more thirsty for Him. But I'm afraid we've taken it for granted. And if you want to see something different in your life, you may feel an emptiness inside of you. You may be like me, man. When you first got saved, you were so hungry. Jesus is the bread of life. His bread is the word. I'm going to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And I stayed hungry. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that time in your life? Were you blessed? I believe you were, because the Bible's not lying. You had a holy hunger, and you were blessed because you were getting your fulfillment from the Word of God. Do you remember those times where you couldn't stop praying? You understood what Paul was talking about, praying without ceasing? That's easily done. I can't stop praising Him. I can't stop worshiping Him. I just want to be in His presence all the time. I want to talk to Him, and I want Him to talk to me. Do you remember that time? Is that time now in your life? Is that time now in your life? Are you hungry? I mean, really hungry. Not miss a meal for God hungry, but going two or three days without eating hungry. Are you thirsty? Not just a little bit dehydrated, but you got to walk a mile down a hill with two water jugs so you can get water for your family thirsty. There's two stories that came to mind as you stand tonight. One story that came to mind was Zacchaeus. We all know the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. That dude had to push through the crowd. He was behind, Jesus was ahead. And he had to push through the crowd. He had to push through all the noise and get through all the people. He climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus knew his faith. Some of you, it's going to be like pushing through a crowd to get to an altar. You're worried to death what somebody else is going to think. But he did it anyway. There's another story that came to mind, a woman with an issue of blood. This woman was weak. She'd exhausted all of her resources. She's done everything that she could do, but she heard about a man named Jesus. And she knew that if she could just get there, and she had faith in believing, if she could touch the hem of his garment, then she would be healed. And she crawled, dirty, nasty feet all around, crawled through all of her guilt and her shame and her regret and everything else and all the resources that she had exhausted. I've done everything in my life, but this is going to work. And when she touched the hem of his garment, he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples, "There's people all around you, man. There's people touching you everywhere. No, somebody touch me. Some of you need that tonight. You've been holding on. You've been holding on. You brushed up against him a few times. But you need him to turn around from heaven and say, "Who touched me?" I don't know if the worship team needs to come up. We need to play some kind of music. Shane, whatever you feel led. But I know in preparation for this, I need a deeper hunger for God. I'm thankful for the time that I've had to spend in His Word and the things that I've learned, but He's got so much more He wants to teach me. And I've not been hungry like I want to be hungry. There's been times where I've been in His presence and so engulfed in His presence. He showed me visions. He's given me dreams. Things have come to pass that I'm like, "Wow, God, that's amazing on the backside of it." There's been times where hours and hours in prayer, yes, come out blessed because I was so thirsty. I need to be more thirsty. There's music playing. God is speaking to hearts. You know your need. God knows your need. There's others around you that can pray with you. You can share your need. We should be able as family to bear one another's burdens. If you know tonight, "I'm not hungry, I'm not thirsty, but I want to be," there's an altar here for you. If you've lost a little bit of that zeal and you don't want to get into that place where you're not studying, you're not praying, you're just going through the motions, and you've lost that little bit of zeal, but you want to guard yourself. "I don't want to get to that place. I want to be more hungry. I want to be more thirsty." There's an altar here for you. You may have never had a hunger for Him before in your life. You may never have thirsted for Him before in your life. And you want to know what we're talking about. Jesus is here with open arms at this altar, saying, "Come to me." There's already some making their way down to pray. I'm going to step out of the way because I need to pray myself.